Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
It's that time of year, the time for miracles, and I thought I would just chip in with my own little miracle for this holiday season. Yesterday was the family Christmas celebration at my son's house. The weather was supposed to clear, but it didn't, so the driving there and back was absolutely miserable. And I didn't get home until later than I had anticipated. And by the time I came down my road, which was treacherous, and saw the base of my driveway, it was like, Myrn, you are home free. At that point, once I saw the driveway and my mailbox, right away my mind is thinking about what am I going to do when I get in the house. I'm going to let the dogs out, then I'm going to feed the dogs, then I'm going to make myself a cup of tea, then I stoke up the wood fire, and I'm just going to chill. My driveway is a little steep at the bottom particularly, and there's a curve. In order to make it up the driveway, in the wintertime, I have to accelerate as I go up the hill. And because it kept snowing all of yesterday after the driveway had been plowed, there was a layer of snow on the driveway. And unbeknownst to me, there was a layer of ice under the layer of snow. So as I made the turn into the driveway and accelerated, I started to spin, and to make a long story very short, I ultimately wound up in the drainage ditch beside the road, where I was soundly stuck. Yes, it was my own fault. Once I started the slide, I shouldn't have kept trying. I should have just parked the car at the bottom of the driveway, come up here, called my plow guy, told him to give me a call when he's ready to plow or when he's, you know, there, blow the horn or whatever. And once he clears the plow line, then I'll just back my car out and then he can plow the rest of the driveway and everything will be fine. But no, I was just, you know, I was stupid. I wanted to be home. I wanted everything where it was supposed to be. And that meant having the car up at the top of the hill in front of the house, blah, 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 blah. So I got stuck, and now I have to lug Christmas presents up the hill through the snow. Snow's getting in my boots. I'm tired. I'm irritable. And rather than go up to the front of the house, come in the front door, I went in the cellar door, turned the light on, and came up into the house through the cellar. I think I've mentioned before my house is very old. The main part of the house was built in about the 1700s. And in the basement, there's a large stone structure that almost certainly predates the house. And because of this, the basement was very high. And originally, the settlers who used the basement, they probably had a ladder that went from the main house down to the basement. And subsequent owners have kind of spiffed that up. They put in a raised cement platform at the bottom. And that means that instead of the ladder going straight up and down, the result is a very, very steep set of stairs. So I came upstairs, and Bibi and Ollie were in their crates, and they were really excited, and I knew they had to go out, and I knew they were hungry. So I just automatically went over, and I opened their crates, and I let them loose. And all the dogs are running around, and they want to go out, and the cellar door was on my way to opening the front door to let them out. So on the way by, I just stopped and reached out to turn off the light switch. I don't know what went through Bibi's mind. The only thing I can guess is that she saw the light in her own deficient way, and she saw my hand go up to flick down that switch, and she interpreted that as the gesture I sometimes use when I open a door when I want her to go out first. And she just proceeded to run through that cellar door the same way she would have run through the front door out into the yard. She just went right down those stairs and hit the cement at the bottom. I couldn't imagine how she would have survived that. And as I'm running down the stairs, she's not moving, By the time I get down to the bottom of the stairs, she's kind of dragging herself on her chest, gets herself under the stairs. I lift her out, pick her up, bring her back upstairs. By the time I get her upstairs, she's starting to struggle. The other dogs are flipping out. They want to go out. They're hungry. I try to check her out on the dog couch. Now she's barking. She's struggling. And as I put her down on the floor to see if she could walk, she immediately goes running over to the door with the other dogs. She's jumping up on the door. It's like, hey, I gotta pee. Open the door, open the door. So I opened the door. And she went out with the other dogs, and they all did what they had to do, and then they came in. And then there she is over at the kitchen counter with the other two, and it's like, okay, let's eat. You're late. Come on, let's get with the program here. So I fed her. And then later on, when I was grooming her, I checked her over again. I kept monitoring her color. I kept waiting for her to go into shock. And the only thing that I could find wrong was that she had broken off the bottom of one of her upper teeth. That's it. Last night was a long night for me because of her semi-paralyzed tongue. When Bibi sleeps, sometimes she makes these very loud snoring noises, and other times she's perfectly quiet. Last night, when she made her usual loud snoring noises, I was convinced that her lungs were filling up with blood and she was going to die. And when she was quiet, I was convinced that she already had died. But in fact, she was fine. And she still is fine. To me, it's a miracle. And I'm sure part of the miracle has to do with the fact that she's brain damaged. I carry her up and down the stairs several times a day. And I have since I've had her. And when I carry her up and down the stairs, I cradle her like a baby. So she's on her back in my arms. And that's a posture that requires total, total trust. I don't know if she sees anything when we go up and down the stairs or whether it's just a blur or what. But I think when she went through that door, everything in her mind was fine, and she just relaxed and did her usual corgi noodle bit. And because she was completely relaxed, the only injury she sustained was when that one tooth and that elongated upper jaw of hers hit the cement. So that's my Christmas miracle. And I think it's pretty cool. And I wish you and all of yours equal miracles or even greater ones, because it's a nice feeling. Happy holidays.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.